Amen. That's why we do it, because he's worthy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right. Well, it's good to have you, Brother Jan. Why don't you come this time?
That's a good song. I like that. I love the kids. You know, that is wonderful. Man, I don't know if you could have gotten this thing any higher. Unless we put it on stilts. It's good to be here with you. I enjoy coming here. I think this is my fourth time to preach here. Operation Renewed Hope began 30 years ago. In fact, it was in a congregation just like this. I think at the time we had about 125 to 130 people. The ministry began to grow. Today, Operation Renewed Hope works in over 45 nations. We do medical clinics, of which Brother Dan now is the director of our medical clinics. He is working on several nations right now, each day. That frees me up to do things that I'm really interested in the ministry of Operation Renewed Hope. We have a ministry we call it Air Hope, people donate their airplanes to us during disasters or emergencies, whatever it may be. Delta Airlines is fixing up an airplane for us right now that was donated. It doesn't belong to us, it belongs to an individual, but that man will be directing our Air Hope mission. Sometimes we have 8 airplanes flying for us at one time, delivering goods all over the Caribbean or in different places. Then we have just been given use of a 108-foot boat. The man named his ministry Sea Hope because he wanted to work with us. We just delivered 40,000 pounds of rice to the children in Haiti. The churches there were just thrilled. Brother Dan was on that trip. I don't know if he'll ever go again, but he was on that trip. You didn't get sick, did you?
Not bad.
There were a few who did. If you've ever been at sea, okay, let me tell you that sometimes the waves can get pretty heavy. I've been at sea working with Operation Renewed Hope along the Gulf of the area on the northern part of Panama. I tell you what, the ocean was so rough that when the waves came up, it just blotted out the sun. You couldn't see, and you just drove straight into that wave. It was quite a little trip. I have nothing lost in the ocean. I got news for you. So I don't go back hunting. We also have a ministry with Homes of Hope. We have, I think, 7 or 8 children's homes now that we send money for food for the kids. We just took on one. Pray about this very much, okay? I can't tell you where it is. I would gladly. We just took on a children's home, and all of a sudden the country erupted. The home is in danger. The pastor and all of his church is in real danger. We're talking about the kind of danger where you die. So I ask you to be in prayer for them. Brother Dan and I are working on a way right now to try to get some money into them so that they can, keep going with the children. They have quite a few children. In fact, you support one of the homes, Sorority. So that's one of our homes. So we're very thankful for that. Then we have a ministry called Infuse. Infuse is a ministry of education. We're trying to infuse the knowledge of our medical people into countries. That's where I want to go. That's why he's taking over the clinics for me and doing a great job. And we hope to infuse medical knowledge into medical situations in countries, which will open thousands of doors to us. We have a ministry called the Village Medical Assistant. I saw you had that on the board up there, so the church, I'm sure, is familiar with that. We also have a new thing called telehealth, and we have doctors. Our missionaries can call in, talk directly to a doctor in the United States. The doctor can even examine them over phone, or right now my son David is working on a computerized setup, and the doctor will be able to listen to the heartbeat over the computer. All the vital signs will come over the computer to him, and then he can examine the patient. We believe that is the future, and we're really looking forward to that. And I could keep going because we have so many different ministries that God has really given us to do, and I'm very thankful. And that doesn't even cover the relief ministries that Operation Renewed Hope does, which requires quite a bit of time. We have disasters all over the world, and I guess you could call us a fundamental version of Samaritan's Purse. And so I know they have their headquarters in Boone, and we have long been a believer that good works change the world for Christ. And we believe that if you touch the heart, you will reach the soul. And that has been our motto for 30 years now, touching the heart, reaching the soul. And so we thank you for your part in our ministry, and we're thankful for this church and for what you're doing. We're going to be looking this morning, if you would, take your Bibles. Now I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 10. Chapter 10, please. This is a day and age in which we feel uncertain. We're not for sure what's going on around us. We're not sure what's going to happen in the next few years. We're just, the church has put too much stock in the world. And so when the world has upheaval, we do. Now, if we had our stock in God, we would just motivate all day long knowing God. But the church today does not know God. As a matter of fact, the church today is pretty ignorant of God. We very seldom see power. We very seldom see God's work advance. It's more of we come to a building, we listen to words, and we go home and do something exciting. Because we have not found anything exciting in the Word of God. Our children are the same way. That's what I fear for is our children. They've watched a group of people go through the motion of being Christians for years. And so that's all they know. And it's being repeated over. This cycle continues over and over and over. Go to Deuteronomy chapter, don't do it now. But when you really want to see this, go to Deuteronomy 31 verse 12 and read. And you'll see the problem that we have. It's the problem that we've been too close, and Christianity has been something that we go along with, we agree to, but as far as making it a part of our lives, very seldom do we do that. We live a secular life, and on Sunday, we go and we make some type of movement toward God. And if it doesn't happen, we're so used to it that it doesn't bother us. We've become very apathetic in many ways. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 10 because now we can't do that any longer. You know why? because we're fixing to understand what it is to be in a hostile world. Here in the United States, we've never been in a hostile situation overall. It's just not been. We've always had peace, education, opportunity, money, wealth. There's a difference between money and wealth, you understand. We have been able to, even if we're not rich, we do well. It's not a problem. Very seldom are we homeless. Very seldom are we threatened by government. Very seldom are we threatened by some force within our country that would cause us a real problem. But Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 16, look there. He said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Wow. Do you know what that is like? Being a sheep and facing wolves? A sheep has no natural defense. None whatsoever. They're small, lightweight, good to eat, and become the lowest member of the food chain, basically. And he said, now I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to send you out as sheep among wolves. Now, if you know anything about wolves, you understand that even in the United States, wolves are a major problem when you get in certain parts of the world here in the United States. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, wolves and dogs are two of the main predators in this country. Dogs in particular are predators. Many people every year die as a result of the dog they own. Okay? In this case, you're talking about a wild animal that knows one thing, and that's survival, and whatever is edible, they attack. And they attack it with a vicious attack. It's not a hunting in the sense that, but they actually track it down, and as quickly as possible, they dispatch that animal and eat it. And he says here, I'm going to send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore serpents and harmless as doves. We never really consider, we always make that statement, but we never consider the context of that statement. And the context is in a hostile world. That's where we're supposed to be wise, and we're to be harmless. That's interesting that wouldn't you think he would say, now what I want you to do is go out and I want you to figure out some way to get a gun. I want you to build a wall around your house. I want you to put ammunition in the bottom of your... sounds like the United States today, doesn't it? Yeah. Folks, we're going to make a stupid error. And that error is thinking that we somehow can overcome a spiritual problem with a physical weapon. And the church... I don't know anything about this church other than the fact that I love coming here, okay? I don't know what your house is like. I don't know anything about it. So please, no one has instructed me in anything, all right? But I preach this kind of message, and I have people come up to me. I remember I preached it in Pennsylvania, big church. And a lady came up to me. I didn't preach this particular message, but I said what I just said about we're going to make a stupid mistake. And she came up and she said, how'd you know all this? I said, I don't know anything about your church. Folks, we are becoming very strong in defending ourselves. And we're buying weapons and we're buying ammunition and we're prepping for the day. Listen, the Lord's already prepped for the day. It just depends on how close we are to Him. Don't make a mistake. This is not a time to make a physical mistake. And sadly, too many people do. And the lady looked at me and she said, you just couldn't believe how timely your message was to our church. And folks, We do not have physical power. In Matthew 10:1, this is our power. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them to remember this one thing. This word power means authority. Okay? He gave them what? Power. He gave them authority. Because you see, the real issue about how we live and what we do for God is authority. That's what we're wrestling with right now. We don't like the authority that's over us right now. In fact, we're a little concerned about that authority. And the whole issue is, in this world, authority. And he said, I'm going to give you power to become, he says, against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then in John, let me read this to you. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, same word, authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, any physical power you need to change the world is the authority to become a son of God. Because you know how you change this world? One soul at a time. You see, we gave up on that. We gave up on that a long time ago. Churches, independent churches that believe the Bible, if they have one person a year come to Christ, they get up and shout and jump. And I mean, it's big time. Okay? I came from what's called a shouting Baptist church. And buddy, I tell you what, there would be times whenever you couldn't hear yourself think because of breaking out and shouting for the Lord. But it's the angels who rejoice when one soul comes to Christ. That should be our rejoicing. Not that we have dominance over the world, and that's what we've wanted, but that our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is that not what he says?
That's right.
That's where our rejoicing is. That's where our power is, because that's where our authority is. Now, let's talk about what's the context of this passage, and I'm going to go as quickly as I can. Bear with me if you would. I think it'll be worth it, all right? The context of this passage, there are two great commissions. We have forgotten the first one. We never mention it hardly. But in our passage right before chapter 10, you read chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. The entire context of this particular part of Scripture is the ministry, and he talks about the fact that there is a great prayer commission. We always go to Matthew 28 where we talk about the great commission to go. This is the great prayer commission to pray. You see, you can't do one without the other. There is no way that we could do the things in Operation Renewed Hope that we do without prayer. Do you understand? Some people think we have some big donor that gives huge amounts of money. Folks, I tell you what, it's mainly people that give small amounts of money. And we just simply pray and say, Lord, here's what we're doing. Would you please bless it? I get up in the morning and I pray, Father, and I have about 10 verses that I quote to him. Okay? And I show that the last one is, give us this day our daily bread. And I love the one in the Old Testament that I quote to him, and I say, now there was a woman that had a cruse of oil, Lord, and that oil did not go out. She went and got pot after pot after pot after pot, and that little cruse of oil just kept filling those pots. And I say, Lord, I'm a pot carrier. Please, please fill the pot today, and the cruse won't be empty. So I have to pray, and you need to pray. We both need it desperately. We need to pray that the Lord of the harvest would supply what we need to do that ministry. He said, what is it that we need? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. We don't need money. He'll supply that. We don't need power, and he'll supply that. See, those things he's going to take care of. What does he tell us to pray for? Us. The problem is not the harvest. The problem is not the power. The problem is not the message. It's perfect. Doesn't need to be changed. Doesn't need to be altered. You know what needs to be altered? Our hearts. The reason the harvest is not being achieved is because of the laborers, not the Lord of the harvest. And in this passage, this is the context. This does not reflect chronology. In other words, he didn't say, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, and then immediately called his disciples together. We don't know what time frame this works together. All we know that is that this is very appropriate because chapter 10 starts with the Lord of the harvest answering the prayer, doesn't he? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. And then he called his disciples together and he sent them forth. Do you realize that the church over the centuries has been sent forth? And the problem is that we are not doing the harvest. We never go to the harvest. Very seldom do we even pray the Lord of the harvest. If you had a missions conference and were asked, how many of you this year have prayed daily for the harvest? How many of you have spent time praying that God would send forth laborers? In my prayer sheet, one whole section is divided to the world, and I pray for each section of the world. Lord, we need laborers so badly. Do we not need laborers? Oh, I wish this church would get together and the heart cry would be, Lord, send forth laborers. You know what's going to happen in a missions conference? You're going to surrender. I have trouble praying that prayer because I always surrender at every country in the world. you pray, Lord, send forth laborers to Africa. And Lord, I could go there. And, you know, we're working on that. We just need a few more people. Lord, I'll go. Pray you therefore the Lord. That's the context. That's the entire thinking of this. Both commissions, the one in Matthew 28 and the one in Matthew 9, are equally important and they are equally authoritative. Because without prayer, there can be no harvest. There will be no laborers. And we can answer that prayer. You know the only thing keeping us from it? Right here. And right here. The combination of our brokenheartedness and our understanding of God's purposes. Now, the commission here also has authority. After this great prayer commission, Matthew records the actual sending forth of harvest laborers. We get to see it in action. It's here. Knowing the peculiarities and the particulars of his harvest, he commissions his servants. Now, you know, many people think that the world is a conundrum. We just don't know how to figure it out. Do we do this? Do we do that? Don't you think that the Lord of the harvest knows his harvest? The only thing we need to do is listen to him. He will provide the understanding and the direction that we need. And in particular, I want you to recognize that the one thing he knew about that harvest, don't you think he knows Joe Biden? Don't you think he knows Donald Trump? I know he can't miss Nancy Pelosi. I mean, she's obvious, okay? Don't you think he knows Russia and Putin? And don't you know that he knows China, and I think it's Xi as his name is pronounced? Don't you think he understands Turkey and Iran and Iraq and all these countries and Pakistan? Sure he does. And do you know that right now as I speak these words, there are thousands upon thousands of believers in those countries? Why? Because he knows his harvest. The problem is laborers. And he knows his harvest. And one of the things that he did for this harvest, if you'll look at this passage, is he didn't just give the responsibility of the harvest. He gave the power of the harvest. Now, I tell you what, this last trip into Ghana, oh man, we stayed on our knees, didn't we, brother? We were praying constantly. The 2 weeks before, it was like a roller coaster ride. Everything, now keep in mind, we've already paid for $50,000 worth of airfare, okay? Keep in mind that we've already paid for all the doctors to be licensed. That was over $7,000 to have the doctors licensed and the nurses licensed in Ghana. Well, I've got $60,000 tied up in that trip. And we're not even talking about the lodging that we've already paid for. We're not talking about the transportation we've already laid on and paid for. We're not talking about the food that we've already bought and put together. We've got $70,000 that I can't get back. And we still haven't even paid all of the debt. Those are down payments. And so 2 weeks before, I'm praying, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what to do here. You see, it was more than sending. I needed authority. I needed to believe with all my heart that God had already arranged this, and by his authority, I'm following through. Remember when he said, go and get the donkey, and if he asks you a question, tell him the Lord hath need? Oh, I love that. Oh, man. You know, just go get the donkey. And I'm sure the disciples said, Lord, we don't have the money to pay for that donkey. Don't worry. When he asks, tell him the Lord hath need of the donkey, and you'll get it. Now, do you have faith enough to believe to go ask for the donkey? They did. And from that, he rode in triumphantly according to the scriptures. That donkey was a fulfillment of the scriptures, was it not? The Old Testament passage. He said, the Lord hath need of him. Don't you worry about the man that has donkey. He's ready. You see, God goes before you and not only gives you the commission, but he also gives you the authority, the power. And our churches today don't know anything about that because we're not engaged to go get the donkey. It's sad what we miss out on. I had a guy tell me one time that, you know, well, can we do this? Can we do that? And I look at him and go, I don't know, but we can try. If it's God's will, it'll go through. Can you imagine the last minute we were, we were leaving Ghana? We had worked all day, over 300 patients. We pulled out of the clinic day, drove straight to the hotel. They had food in little packages for us so we could eat our supper, and climbed on board that bus, loaded all of our gear. We were hot, sweaty, dirty. We were wearing our scrubs or our work clothes, and got on that bus, and for 9 hours we traveled. Oh, correction, make that 11 hours because for 2 hours we sat on the road because a truck turned over and you would not believe it was just pure confusion. And I was praying the whole time, Lord, you got to get us there. We've got to get our COVID test. If we don't get our COVID test, we don't get out of the country. We arrived right on time. We took our COVID test at 1 o'clock the next day. They had the report that all of us were negative, and we headed to the airport to get on the plane. When I got there, they were not going to let people on. It was unbelievable. And on top of that, That was the last flight for 30 days by Air France, and that's who we had our tickets with. If we had not gotten on that plane, 30 days in Ghana, or either I had to buy all brand new airfare. Do you know what airfare costs at the time of need? It's phenomenal. It can be as high as $3,000 and $4,000 per person. Go get the donkey. Oh boy. You know something? Everybody got it home on time, except for one person. They were delayed in the United States. And they got home the next morning. Go get the donkey. And if somebody asks, say, well, don't worry. The Lord has need of him. And the triumphant entry will occur. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you willing to go get the donkey? He gave us authority. Let me keep going here, because not only did he commission us with authority, and I have so many verses here, but I'm just not going to be able to get to all of them. The commission's opposing authority. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's our opposition. And it's a powerful opposition. Never underestimate the power of the prince of the power of the air. That place that he was cast into, out of heaven, it's the air, the space, the cosmos, if you want to say. He now works on this earth and in this sphere. And he is powerful. And he is a prince among powerful spiritual entities. And he knows how to defeat us. He knows how to take us out of the harvest. And he works his schemes. They're called methods. The wiles of the devil. Okay? The word wiles there is the word from which we get our word method. It's the word from which we understand this is the method by which he operates. And we're to put on the whole armor of God to withstand the wiles of the devil, because he's our enemy. Now, I'm not into this charismatic idea of the enemy, okay? He's a defeated enemy. All right? Don't get into this stuff about the enemy. All right? But you do recognize very clearly that when you walk into that harvest and you go get that donkey, you just broke the barrier. He is the prince of the power of the air. He's defeated. His power is limited. It's contained, because the ruler of the universe contains all the power of all the different entities of the world, and there are many. The present evil age, led by opposing authority, the prince of the power of the air, can only be defeated by God's greater authority. You see, the question is, who owns the harvest? That's the question. And we don't even begin to understand that, because we're not engaged in the harvest as we ought to be. But the real issue is, who owns the harvest? And it is the Lord of the harvest that owns the harvest. It is not the prince of the power of the air. He is a usurper. He is a hireling. He wants the harvest. He wants you and I. He wants the inheritance of the Son. And do you remember the passage of Scripture where the Lord of the harvest said, I'll send my son, surely they'll hear him. And they said this, This is the heir. If we kill him, we own the harvest. Faulty thinking, because it was by his death that they lost the harvest. It was the reverse of it. When he died on that cross, it was forever settled that the Son would be the one who would inherit the harvest. And so God is working his harvest for his Son. The Father always works the harvest for the Son. Didn't you know that? And for his children? Always. That's the purpose behind it. And that harvest is coming in, and someday it will belong to the Son, and someday he'll take that harvest in honor to his Father and present it, the Bible says, to his God. This harvest of souls in this world requires God's authority. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? And they fled from him and went into the ones who were trying to cast them out. Why? They had no authority. Paul had authority. He had been empowered to overcome this world of evil spirit. Jesus cast them out and they went into pigs and they ran down the hill. What were Jews doing with pigs? That's what I wanted. Well, anyway. His authority exceeds all authority. And I want you to understand, I wish I had time to read all the verses that I have. It's so wonderful. If you go through this, it would take me hours just to read the verses that apply to this idea of the harvest and God, the Lord of the harvest, supplying authority to be in that harvest. And we're not talking about massive power. Matthew emphasizes ownership authority. Luke adds to it massive power. But before you can achieve the massive power, you have to have the authority to work with that power. Brother Dan has worked all of his life to be able to do what he's doing in the medical world. He has unbelievable credentials. I know he never says anything to you. But one of the greatest events that we have is when we find a person that can work in the harvest with the kind of credentials that this man has. He has education credentials, he has experience credentials, and he has not only education, but he has medical credentials. And he has not stopped until he reached a terminal degree of a doctor of medicine. All right? That's authority. That's authority. And it's wonderful. It is not a display of raw physical power. He's not a powerful man any more than any other man. But what he carries with him will bowl over the world, my friend. Because people stop and they think twice when they speak to this man about anything to do with his credentials. It is not a display of raw physical power exploding in battle, although that is available to us. But it is the quiet. Now listen very carefully to what I'm about to say here. But it is the quiet, confident, and forceful subjugation of all weaker claims of control of the harvest. Through the natural supreme authority and dominion of the Lord of the harvest's sovereignty. Satan's not sovereign. There's not another power that exists that's sovereign. They must bow to sovereign power. There is one sovereign power, and that is the Lord of the harvest. And although there can be a flashing forth of battle power that would overwhelm physical and spiritual beings, it is that small, still voice that controls all things. And folks, when we finally understand, there are times, I'll be honest with you, it takes my breath away from me. It takes my strength away from me. You can ask my wife. I'll hold my head in my hands and I'll say, Lord, this is dangerous. I wish I could tell you what Dan and I spoke of this morning. It's very dangerous. The world's not a simple place. And it's so hard sometimes to believe. It is so hard sometimes just to sit still and know that He is God. And I hold my hands and I sit in a chair and I say, God, I believe. And do I know? I've never met Him. Peter said it this way. Although I've never seen Him, I love Him. Though we have no physical contact, we believe in Him. And with joy unspeakable and full of glory, we rejoice. I've never seen Him. I cannot even begin to tell you how much I want to see Him. I've walked with Him. Oh, I talk to Him all the time. I know people think I'm crazy. They must go by my car and think that that man's deranged. But He's the only one I can appeal to. You see, I went and got the donkey. Oh, that God would give us that. And it puts us in a special category. One that every believer can possess. It's not unusual hierarchy. It's not kings and princes of Christianity. It's common people who can possess that authority if they go to the harvest. Because you see, only in the harvest will you know that power. Because that is a special power set aside for one thing and one thing only, and that is the harvest of souls for the Christ who died for them, and they are His inheritance. And He will not allow a usurper. They are in my hands. My hands are in the Father's hands, and no one can separate them. No one can take them out. You see, the inheritance is His. Therefore, the harvest is His. That's why we work for the harvest, so that our Lord can have all the praise and the glory. And that special position of knowing the power of the harvest puts us in quite an elite company. It's the company of Moses and Elijah and Elisha and Daniel. And He struck the rock and water came forth. And there was a plague for every opposition. And finally Pharaoh was completely destroyed. And he stood on dry ground in the midst of a sea and led the people forth. And God said, let my people go. And no power, including the most powerful man on earth at that day, the Pharaoh, could stop those people from being released. Don't you ever forget it. The harvest has the power. And it's Elijah. When he said, how long halt you between two opinions? And he prayed a small little prayer. And fire fell from heaven. And he had put water all over the altar and in a trench around it. And it literally sucked up all of that water and consumed the offering. And there was no longer a decision to be made. God was the authority. Not Baal. And Elisha said to Naaman, go and dip yourself seven times. And Naaman was so taken back by that. Aren't there better rivers than the Jordan? Why, I have beautiful rivers where I am. But he bowed himself to the king, the authority of all the world. And he went and he dipped himself seven times into that water. And when he came up out of that seventh dip, he was pure. No longer did he have any disease in his body because the Lord of the harvest sent forth power. And Daniel, you will not pray. And Daniel got by his window, opened it up so everyone could see as he had always done, and he prayed. And God said, that's it. And they came against him and they cast him in the lion's den. And the king was brokenhearted and he came in the morning and he said, Daniel, Daniel, has your God been with you? And he said, be at ease, king. And we can say to the world, nuclear weapons, terrible destruction, climate change, be at ease. Our God is in control. And we have his power. And I'll close with this because I can preach beyond your ability to listen. Once again, the world of evil in high places will tremble as they did in the days of Moses and Elijah and Elisha and Daniel. And they will tremble as a result of this infusion of God's sovereign authority in mortal flesh, working God's immortal plan. Will you go to the harvest today with me? Will you help me reach the world? Oh, I need so much help. I can only ask the Lord of the harvest, but maybe right now God's speaking to your heart. And you'll say, I'll go to the harvest in a little town called Mountain City, Tennessee, the most important part of the world because it's your Jerusalem. He said, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, I will give you power, didn't he? Yeah, the authority and the physical power. And he said, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's his plan. It's the most beautiful plan on earth because everywhere you are is your Jerusalem. You start right where you are. Don't think you've got to go someplace else. Right here, there is a harvest. And people need to be saved. And when this church gives themselves totally to the harvest of Mountain City, Tennessee, then they will see the authority and the power of our Lord. Isn't he good to us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the harvest. Oh Lord, send us. The harvest is so big. And we need so many laborers. We need people right now that would give themselves to the harvest. In the quietness of this moment, would you just simply talk with the Lord? I can't make a difference, but you can. Would you say to the Lord, I know there are people in Mountain City that need Jesus. I will go quickly and under your authority, Lord, to reap. Oh God, make this place a place of power. Not because they have political power. We've tried that. Now we've been called insurrectionist. We don't need the power of Hollywood. We don't need the power of the sports world. We don't need the power of high finance, rich and wealthy people. But Lord, we need that still, small voice that is greater than the whirlwind. The power of the tornado, the power of the hurricane, the power of the typhoon, that small, still voice that causes the world of evil usurpers to tremble. Father, may we know it because we surrendered right now to the harvest. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Dan.
Let's all stand to our feet as she's playing softly. Maybe you need to come right now. Surrender to God. Surrender to the Lord of the harvest. There's people in the harvest that you can reach that I can't. There's people in our Judea that we need to reach. There's people in our Samaria that we need to reach. We all need to surrender to do our part to reach the uttermost. What's the Lord telling you today? Surrender to it. He's going to equip you with the power He promised it. It starts with us praying, surrendering. Anybody here today that's unsure what would happen to your soul if you died today? You come down and talk to me. I can show you from the Bible how you can know that you're going to heaven. I would love to do that. Today, the altar is open. Amen. All right, you can look this way, you can be seated. And thank you again. Thank you again for your good attention. And wow, what a message. I appreciate that. Thank you. That was a blessing, a challenge. And we have a lot of work to do, folks. And I tell you, that's when we go into the harvest, that's when the attack comes, and you've seen that, you felt that, and we must not stop. We must keep going, and have courage, and be strong and courageous, and rely upon the power. We must stay yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. I tell you, that's where that power comes from, and but I tell you, I'm excited about being in the battle with you all. And we thank God, and that's a God. He blesses that. He blesses that. You keep on going, keep on sowing, and you'll reap. You'll reap in due time. It's been good. It's been a good month, hasn't it? Amen. Let's love our missions month, and of course we love having missionaries all throughout the year. We always focus in February and have our missionaries. We had a birthday party here yesterday, and several of our King's kids were here. One of the King's kids come. He said, "Pastor Daniel," he said, "when's the next missionary coming?" I said, "He'll be here tomorrow." And I love that. I love it when our children, they look forward to having missionaries. I can remember always just, I loved meeting missionaries and hearing their stories and hearing what God God has done in their life. And the thing about it is what God has done in this man's life, he'll do in your life. It's the same God. And it's a wonderful thing. So we got another missionary coming next week, going to Australia. And I've not met him yet. His name's Caleb. He'll be here. And then a couple weeks, we've got one that's been here before. We've supported for many years, the veteran missionary, Mike Van Horn. And he wrote a book about fasting. It was a real game changer for me. I'm sure he'll have some of those with him that he can share with you when he comes. So you'll be praying about that. And we're not having any service tonight. I don't do that often, but you guys did a great job last week. And I know maybe some of you may have some plans or things tonight with Valentine's Day and things like that. So we're going to take off tonight. But we'll be back here Wednesday at 7. Men will be here Tuesday night with our Iron Sharpeneth Irons at Tuesday night at 7. All men are welcome to that. And anybody got a word in their heart this morning? Anybody today? All right. Yes, Ms. Shar. Yes.
Jordan has to leave and head back to Nashville when church is over. There's an ice storm coming that way around 6 this evening.
Okay.
Yeah,
you better just stay here. It's bad out there in the town. Yeah, you better stay. Terrible. Yeah, we don't want to lose Jordan, but we'll be praying for safety. We did, may or may not have sabotaged your car. Anybody else today? Word in your heart. All right. Yes, Brother Chris. Amen. He is. Yes. Yes. Be praying for him. That's Mike and Melissa's grandson. And have you had an update on him? Yeah, he's young. You can't hardly imagine that. Praying for Parker. And anybody else today? All right. Yes, Brother Josh.
I want to thank God for the many blessings he gave me.
Amen.
But this week on a certain topic, he touched my heart.
Amen.
And I want to thank him for everything he's done for us and for everybody in this church and for my family.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see the Lord at work in the lives of our people. It's a very evident. It's awesome. Just love it. Hey, yes, sir.
I'll thank the Lord for someone that invited me here about a year ago. Sorry, it took me so long.
Well, man, we're glad to have you. Thanks for coming. Appreciate you. That's great. Good testimony. Anybody else today?
Yes. Josh had said something about thanking and something with the church family.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's why
we got a symbol, folks. We got to bear one another's burdens, and when you come and you got a burden, it's infectious and it rubs off on me, and hopefully I rub off on you, and we're encouraged. Okay, we're encouraged to keep on going out into the harvest. All right, I appreciate that testimony. Anybody else today? Yes, Brother Gene. Amen.
Thank you for taking care of us, answering prayers. Just things that we can't do, just we have the faith in Lord Jesus that He went to the cross for us for our sins. Thank Him, oh boy. He is such a wonderful, wonderful God.
He is a wonderful God. He's beyond. Our words can't describe. He's so good. He's so great. You know, God, He is the one you cannot fully understand or explain that.
Amen.
Cannot. That's the one thing you cannot. But if you have faith in that one thing, and you believe that one thing, everything else can be explained.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? He's a good God. He deserves our prayer. Yes, ma'am.
Hey. That's just for me sometimes. But,
yeah.
You know, call me out. But I thank him for what he's doing in my life and that I will be still and let him do whatever he wants to do.
Amen. Well, that's the hardest thing to do. And his way is perfect. That's my grandmother's favorite verse. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Great, great verse. Great verse. Anybody else today? God is, he is love. He set the standard, didn't he? He loves so much he gave. Amen. He's a good God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. This guy right here, I'm telling you. Comedian. Hilarious. That's great. Anybody else today? All right. Well, it's been good to be in the Lord's house today.
Amen.
Amen. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. And you all be sure to go by the table that Brother Jim and Debbie have set up. And they've got some information about Operation Renewed Hope. And get to... Yes, please.
There are two gospel tracts back there. We write... I've been amiss. We've got about 7 or 8 stories that I need to write gospel tracts on. I have 2 of them done, but they're based on the goodness of God. And if you'll take those tracts and give them out and
Amen.
Tell people, this is a story of how good God is. Please
Amen.
Read it. It goes through the book of Romans for the, it is the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance, and then we give the gospel. But the story is of people whose lives have been saved as a result of our clinics. And so please take them. Don't leave them there. I need to give them out. I don't need them to be carried around. So if you'd like to give those out, all week long you could be telling people in the harvest.
Hey, we'll take them all. Yeah, we love tracks. That'd be great. Great, yeah, go back and grab them tracks. Get them out. All right. Oh, anybody else today? Amen. All right, well, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Chris to close us in prayer.